Welcome, everybody. We are back with another episode of the Two Thumbs Up podcast featuring myself, Ducky the Gamer, and today we are joined by a special guest I'm excited to have on the podcast. He's a content creator who's been blowing up in Apex Legends Mobile recently, had some really big announcements this past week as well, and feels like a great person to talk about everything that is happening right now with Apex Legends Mobile. Especially given the fact that, as far as the mainstream goes, that's the game that has been getting the majority of the mainstream attention. So we got lots of things to talk about. Make sure to comment down below if you guys are watching on YouTube who you want to see in the next podcast. And also you can follow along on Spotify if you haven't already. But Ice, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
Chilling.
I'm doing good. Me and Ducky were literally just grinding rank before hopping into this and getting our butts whooped. So we're having a good old time.
Yep.
Yeah. So a lot of people are saying there's a lot of bots right now in rank, but I was solo squatting and that was not the case.
I don't know. I feel like we're getting different lobbies from everybody else, but maybe we are the bots.
I'm only in gold, like gold one, gold two, but I have struggled today hard.
I think most of like the players, it's like the, I don't know if you've ever seen the distribution graph for like CSGO or Valorant, how the ranks are distributed, where it's like the low end bronze and iron, there's like no one in it, and the top ranks is no one in it, but in the middle, like gold and plat, everyone's in those ranks. It's like the huge distribution curve. I feel like that's probably what's happening, is everyone's like settling into gold and platinum, and so you have like a ton of real people. Like there's no problem getting those. Yeah. Like we had a 3-minute queue to get into a Predator lobby earlier. And like, it was a platinum lobby. Like we went up against gold players.
Yeah. And we got like no points for killing them.
Brutal.
How is that even fair on those guys?
Oh, yeah, I agree. 100%.
Well, so bad.
We lost. So we didn't get the win in the game. So I think, it's fair.
We're not going to talk about it. Well, yeah. Our teammate got knocked by golds like 3 different times because we just like picked up a random. So We're going to blame him for it. But
I was playing on my own and it was brutal. I thought it was my skill level. I'll take what you said, Ducky. I'll take that.
Yeah, no, you're fine. You're fine. You're just going to a bunch of goated players.
All right. So, Ice, as far as how you got into mobile gaming in general, I know you've talked about it on Twitter a little bit in the past. From what I understand, you mainly got into it as a hobby during quarantine. Is that correct?
Exactly that. Yeah, I had nothing to do. I was always playing. I started playing COD Mobile, and I was always just raging on my own. and then my fiance was like, "Why don't you try streaming? You're always talking. You may as well just talk at some people."
Uh-huh.
I was like, "Okay, I'll give it a try." And it was just a whirlwind of craziness streams. Because my first ever stream was a 24-hour stream for
Jeez.
Yeah, so that was crazy. I had to whisper at some point because, like, I did it on a Tuesday night or something like that. And then my fiance's got a 10-year-old son, so going into like 10 p.m. all the way to about 7 a.m. in the morning, I had to whisper. So I was doing a whisper stream on my first stream. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
And I've been there. Then,
yeah.
I've been there with the whisper streams, the quiet hours, parents are up, you gotta, it gets like 11 o'clock, and I remember one time I got hosted by Tfue, and I went to like 4 a.m., but I think the last half of the stream, I was just like, all right, guys, gotta go, thanks for the falls, thanks for the subs. It was brutal. Hey, but, we've all been there.
People loved it, though. People found it funny. They were talking about like ASMR stream and stuff like that, so I think it worked out for the better.
You got a new audience. That's sick, though. Yeah. I got into mobile gaming just because the games I'm playing on mobile, like Clash of Clans, Madden Mobile. So it wasn't that's interesting. You're the first person I've heard that started because of quarantine and just picked it up because you're mobile gaming and we're trying something new. And most people I've heard of in the scene who are like making content, you hear like, oh, they started on Critical Ops or they started on Fortnite Mobile back in the day. But I think you're the first person that I've heard who's like started on COD Mobile and then transitioned to Apex, which is pretty sick.
Exactly. I mean, the games that the last FPS shooter game that I was playing was Counter-Strike 1.6.
So oh, wow.
That was like, that was like 25 years ago, like a long time ago. And then after that, I've just been on like RPG games like Diablo, Path of Exile, and then quarantine kicked in. I had nothing to do. I just started playing games on my phone. I was playing a game called Ragnarok. It's like a Japanese RPG game. And then I saw Call of Duty Mobile. I think it was 3 months into the global launch of COD Mobile, and then I started playing it. And I felt really good because I was slapping plastic foods and soccer mom all day every day. I was like, how are these guys in the same lobby as me every single game?
Uh-huh.
I was like, I'm going to try and find him. And I could never find him to add them. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And that's when I didn't know bots existed in like mobile gaming and stuff. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to start streaming this. I'm really good at it. And then reality kicked in when I started doing open lobbies.
So if you hadn't gotten into streaming and other stuff, content creation, what do you think you'd be doing right now?
Teaching dance. 100% teaching dance. Because coming into this, I don't teach anymore, but I was a dancer and I did like a bit of modeling as well. So that was the two money makers that I had. And when Corona kicked in, it was just a sudden zero. I had no source of income, no source of activity. It was just a horrendous period, and I needed to do something to earn a little bit of money. And because COD Mobile was kind of fresh, I still managed to grow a little bit. But yeah, so before COD Mobile, I was, if it wasn't for streaming, I would be dancing. Pretty sure of that, 99.9% sure that I'd be dancing.
All right.
That's sick. Was that something you've done like a majority of your life, just dancing?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So I started dancing when I was 21. Well, I mean, I guess I'm always a dancer. I've always been a dancer because I'm like Filipino, and the fiestas, the festival and stuff, were always like battling Macarena with the other crews in the other streets. So I think I've always been a dancer. But in terms of like starting lessons and teaching and choreography and stuff like that, I started dancing when I was 21, I think. And then I took a break because I slipped a disc in my back, so I couldn't dance for 3 years. So I came back at like back end of 24, 25 years of age. And then from there, I just carried on dancing and teaching. And then
wait, are you older than me?
How old are you, man?
I'm 27.
Have a guess.
29.
I'm going 29, yeah.
I'm 33, dude.
Yeah. Of the mobile community. Oh my gosh. Hitman's not even the oldest anymore. He's gonna be so excited about this.
Wait, hold on. How old is Mod 6?
I forgot. Mod 6 is still a grandpa, but you're like I'm pretty sure Mod 6 is 30s as well, so
Okay.
You still look younger than me, but at least like actual number wise, you're actually older. So,
I got dude, I would have guessed like until you started like throwing out those numbers, I would have guessed you were like 20, like mid 20s. I just like
you. Yeah, when you said your fiance had a 10-year-old, I was like, wait.
Yeah, I was like,
trying to do the math in my head.
Oh, I want to see your reaction. I want to see that webcam reaction.
I was like, all right. I'm trying to put together the dots, and they weren't lining up. So I just had to ask. Jeez. Yeah, I mean, no, your energy though for like, I mean, you sometimes I look at these other content creators, I'm like, man, I don't know if it's because I've been doing it for so long, but my energy level is just like, I try to keep up with these people, but for like stream for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just like, I don't know. It's, I just applaud anyone who's still got like crazy energy and not necessarily passion, but just like always being crazy upbeat no matter what's thrown at you, especially in gaming and like, especially ranked grinding and competitive. It's always impressive what people could do. Yeah. So, and one up. Yeah, you fooled me. You fooled me for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to ID me, I've got an ID. I get ID for alcohol, dude. But I have to bring my ID.
I never get ID.
I always do.
I'm like, I'm ready. Like, I know you're going to ask me. Here it is. And they're always like, what? 1989? Is this a fake ID? No, I am not McClubbing. Don't trust me. This is real. Yeah, I get ID everywhere, man.
Do you feel like being Filipino played a role in your interest in mobile games? Because I feel like mobile is a lot more mainstream for Philippine gaming, especially. I think it's a lot more widely accepted there and even more respected. And I think the majority of the biggest esports audiences in the world, they're probably located in the Philippines and in India. So do you feel like that played a role as well?
Yeah, I was about to say that Philippines and India are my two top geographical sources of views. And it's not so much because I'm a mobile player, I'm respected. It's the fact that mobile is more accessible for third world countries than, you know, there's a lot more mobile phones to play with than people owning PCs in in the Philippines. I didn't have a PC in the Philippines. So I grew up in the Philippines until I was about 11. And then moved to England when I was 12. I didn't own a PC until I was like 23. So we had to go to these arcades and play on PC and stuff like that. So I guess the fact that viewership is so high in Philippines and India and in those kind of places, it's because that's all we had, you know?
Yeah.
That's all everybody has. So I guess it helps mobile gamers to have like a really big Asian sort of viewership base because, yeah, like a lot of the players can only play on mobile.
So COD Mobile was your introduction into mobile gaming. Was there any other games you played before Apex Mobile? Because I wasn't even aware like that Apex Mobile was coming out until the NA soft launch was sort of announced. And then come to find out people have been making content for like a year. Like Owen Imal always mentions that like he's been making content for like 2 years on the game or something insane. And I'm just like, I've known of it for like 3 months. So were you Insta switch to Apex, or like, did you try other shooters, or what was your progression?
I was just bored of COD Mobile because like BR doesn't really get a big push because it's not the main thing for Activision COD Mobile franchise. BR is not the main thing. So because of the fact that there wasn't really much to do, it was the same thing over and over again. There's not much events and things like that. I just got bored of COD Mobile and all the bugs started bugging me as well. No pun intended. So I decided to. I was like, oh my god, I really don't want to play this game anymore live on stream. And then people were like, why don't you just try Apex Legends Mobile? I'm like, what is that? I literally didn't even know what Apex Legends is back in July. I think like June, July last year. And Lottie was actually the one that said, oh, why don't you try Apex Legends Mobile? I know someone called Nuke. He can sort you out with like CB2 access. And then from there, I started playing Apex Legends. And as soon as I got in the game, I was like, wow, the characters look cool. Bloodhound looks like a samurai with a freaking bird that he sends out. I just love the whole movement thing. The movement is a thing that really got me into it. The reason why I love COD Mobile is because of the slide. Like the Call of Duty title is the sliding mechanics. I don't like games like PUBG where you have to run 700 miles to find the next opponent. You can, you know, in COD, you can do all these flashy moves, 360 no scopes with a slide jump cancel kind of thing. And then Apex, when I tried it, it was kind of like an elaboration of the COD Mobile movement in terms of like sliding and climbing and stuff like that. So I just fell in love with Apex Legends straight away. And I, like from there, it was just a nonstop sort of journey.
All right. Love it. So obviously you had some big news this week. TSM announced their first two mobile creators, I believe, as far as creators go, that they've ever signed. So first signing Sano, and then after that, they announced that they were signing you two. I was surprised, not because I don't think that you deserve to be in TSM, but I think especially just looking at numbers, they don't typically sign content creators around what I think you're a little over 10,000 subscribers now.
Yep.
So
it even surprised me.
how exactly did you get connected with them, and what is TSM's plans going forward with Apex Legends Mobile, at least as far as content goes?
So I guess let's start off with TSM's plans, I guess, for Apex Legends Mobile. Apex Legends is their game. That franchise is TSM, pretty much, right? So they're the dominant figure within that. So when Apex Legends Mobile got announced, got launched and stuff like that, they said, we're going to hit it hard, early, the best. We're going to be the best in Apex Legends Mobile. So when I heard about that, this was around about January, I think. Yeah, around about January, and I thought, wow, they are actually, because I've known of TSM because I've kind of followed ALGS on PC, and as soon as I found out that they have plans going into Apex Legends Mobile, it didn't really surprise me because I knew they were going to have it, but I didn't expect them to come in so early. I had to re-strategize. Like, I looked at my channel and think, I need to get noticed. I need to shove all my content in front of everyone. So when everyone looks left, looks right, look up and down, they will see iStream. And I knew that I had to go up against big boys like Sono, Imo, this is Chris, Rose. So they're the ones that's pulling in the major numbers. So I had to really, this is going into sort of my journey going into TSM now, I had to figure out a way to get noticed alongside those boys, alongside the big boys who's pulling in the numbers and looking into the whole YouTube scene, the whole YouTube community. No one, barely anyone was doing guides, which really surprised me. So when I saw that no one was doing guides, I knew that teaching is my strongest point. So teaching is my passion. I absolutely love teaching. That's the number one thing that I love doing. And I've got a really loud energy and no one is doing guides content. I thought, combine all of them together and then test the waters. And then when I first started unloading my guides, it got traction straight away. Not that much, maybe like 1K views every video. And I only had like 700 subs at this point. I think it was December. And then coming into January, I got to about 1,000 subs and I kept on uploading guides. And I knew that I had to revamp it. I had to do something bigger. I had to do something more. I had to stand out more. So I thought, you know what? When soft launch gets announced, let's drop 2 guide videos every single day. Let's do some stupid thumbnails that's always going to stick out with the faces and stuff like that. You just need to basically put so much content out there, good quality content, and really unorthodox thumbnails to stand out. So when I dropped my first 100 tips and tricks video the day before soft launch, that exploded. That video started my whole explosion for my channel. But coming into soft launch, I got introduced to, before soft launch, like a month before soft launch, Sono introduced me to Jeff, who is the director of TSM Mobile. It was like an interview, like a first stage interview, and we spoke about my goals. I told him what my plans are for my brand, my content, what I'm like as a person. I just basically gave them all the answers before they could even ask it. So after that round one interview, I knew that they were already somewhat interested. I just needed to prove that I could actually pop off. And coming into soft launch, as soon as I started dropping my videos, because I was the only one doing guides, there weren't really much competitions, my channel just exploded. And from there, I knocked on Jeff's door again and said, when can we chat again? And then on the second interview, I just said to him, look, I'm gonna do everything that I can to be a successful content creator for Apex Legends Mobile. I'm going to make sure that the game in itself overall succeeds because I love it. And it's in my best interest for the game to pop off, because when it does, me and other creators are going to flourish. And it just got to the point where I was just giving him so much information. I knew exactly what I wanted, when I was going to do it, how I was going to do it. And I think that was one of the things that he was mainly impressed about, the fact that I had a plan. I was a man with a plan. You know what I mean? It wasn't so much, like you said, I've only got like, at the time I had 10K subs when they actually signed me. People were wondering, how the hell did he get signed? It's because I had a plan. And my, like, the other thing that he mentioned was that, like, my social media presence was quite good. And it was just the whole package of, even though he has really small subs, he has this to offer. He has this other thing to offer. So I guess the main reason why they signed me is because, you know, I had a plan. I knew what I was doing and I knew where I was going to take my stuff to. So they could picture me in TSM.
That is impressive, to say the least. That, I mean, it's also something that I feel like it's a common reoccurrence. Like whenever we talk to anyone who is someone of like, you know, a successful figure in the scene, it always comes down to like a plan. They had a plan, they had a schedule, they had a series of events that they knew they were going to be able to crush and hit out of the park. And the fact that like 6 months ago, like I wasn't aware, like for me, I wasn't even aware of the game 6 months ago, and you already had a plan for the soft launch, for the global launch, to get on TSM's radar. And that just proves that it's not, numbers aren't the end all be all. You can sign someone with 5 million subs and they honestly can have some pretty bad returns for some organizations, rather than signing someone who is dedicated, driven, they've been working towards it for a long time, and they actually know what they're going to be doing over the next few years. Because I don't know how long it's going to be a part of TSM, but I'm assuming it's going to be quite a long journey. And so I'm pretty sure that's what stood out to them, is you had a game plan for the next, you know, week, month, year, 2 years ahead of time, rather than just like, oh, I'm going to make some content and we'll see where it goes. You know, I don't even own an org, but I would have signed you if I did, kind of thing. Just with how motivated and like dedicated you were to making that reality happen. And so that's crazy. Like I said, I didn't even know about the game, let alone I guess I put TSM more in like the Fortnite category for a bit myself, just because they had like Myth, EMAD. So like, it's just different like perspectives, honestly, which is pretty interesting, because I wasn't even like looking for orgs or like even thinking about anything like that prior to the game coming out. So just you big brained the whole thing and it worked out, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the whole journey into, because a lot of people were saying to me as well, don't drop all your guides in soft launch, because like global is where it matters the most. But I specifically dropped my content in soft launch to get noticed. If I'd have waited until global launch to drop all the guides that I dropped in soft launch, I probably wouldn't have been picked up by TSM, because I would have still been on like 1,000 subs.
It all makes sense sense, because I was wondering, I was like, I mean, that was what I was thinking. I was like, I have all my guides ready to go for the global launch, but you were just like, I mean, you honestly had an advantage as well, because you're the only person doing those like high quality, high consistency guides early on. And so I think like people always say you have to do something. I mean, you even said you had to do some crazy different thumbnail to get yourself noticed. People always ask, how do you get to where you want to be in content creation? You got to do something different. Doesn't matter what it is, just do something different from the rest. And that was that. You did it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been an absolutely insane journey. It really has been brutal. I've been working like 15, 18 hours a day, but it's all been worth it. So I'm really just excited to go. I mean, right now I'm actually struggling in terms of like views and stuff, because there's just so much more competition, and I knew that was going to be a thing coming into global, right? So I still did underestimate the power of numbers of competition as a whole, but I always knew that there was going to be more competition in global. So I made a split decision to think, well, am I going to wait to drop my guides in global where there's a lot of competition, or drop it in soft launch, get noticed, get signed early? So I decided to drop them early and got signed early. So I think it all paid off. So now I'm now in the process of like innovating my guides, innovating my content. So I had 40 guides. I've only dropped like maybe 20 max. And I'm looking at my other guides now and thinking, this is just not going to cut it anymore. So I'm now in the process of, you know, reinventing my guides, reinventing my content, do a little bit more gameplay as well, because I don't just want to stick with guides. As much as I love teaching people, I'm an entertainer as well. So I'm going to start putting content out that's based on entertainment. And I'm just excited to see where global takes us. But as far as numbers and growth and things like that, it's, you know, it will come in time. It will come in time. Quality resonates. As long as I think I keep putting out quality content out there, I should be okay, right?
Oh, 100%. So
one of the other questions that we wanted to ask is, because you were talking about the views not being quite what you expected. This is, without a question, as far as hype goes, the biggest launch that mobile has ever seen, just because you have so many different content creators that were in other games that they either quit, got frustrated with, whatever it was, and they said, oh, I'm going to be that guy for Apex. I can't even think of the number of tweets that I've seen saying, I'm going to blow up in Apex Legends Mobile. I'm going to be number one. I'm going to be that guy. And to be honest, most of them haven't even put out the content to back it up. You, I would say, have absolutely backed it up with the amount of work that you put in. But so many people, I think their effort as far as video content has gone has been lackluster. Do you think that Apex is going to be able to sustain the current amount of interested content creators? And do you potentially think it could get other content creators to switch as well? Because right now, I think the views are definitely lower than what everybody expected. I think a lot of that is attributed to optimization and the fact that there are a lot of people that can't run the game properly. Do you see that being something that changes in the future? Or do you think a lot of creators are going to end up switching off?
So I think first things first, Apex Legends is the hardest game I have ever jumped into for the first time in my life. When I tried it last summer in July, I was like, holy crap, this is public matches. I feel like I'm in a ranked Predator lobby. I feel like I'm in the highest. It's just so difficult. The movement, the looting, the attachments, the abilities. The combination of movements that goes from beginners to advanced, like bunny hopping and stuff like that. Apex Legends as a whole, I think, is a long-term brand. It's a long-term, more of a long-term progression. So it's not, I don't think it's going to be as big as COD Mobile in the first year. If you look at Apex Legends PC, it didn't really pop off until 2.5-3 years of it already being out. It only popped off last year, right? Like back end of last year. And for the previous 2.5 years before that, it's just sort of building and building and building and building. Developers just updating the game, improving it, building on it, building new foundations, going like basically just making the game better over the course of 2 years. So I never expected Apex to be like the biggest game on mobile right off the bat. There was going to be a hype stage. There was going to be a honeymoon stage, but Apex Legends Mobile is going to be more on the long term of updates, fixing bugs, giving us custom lobbies, taking bots out ranks, stuff like that. It's just going to be updates throughout time. It's more like a marathon, not a sprint. And as far as like content creators go, unfortunately, only the toughest is going to prevail, right? Because right now, like in the next 2-3 weeks, I'm guessing that the views are going to drop and a lot of people are going to get disheartened, demotivated. It's not something that they expected. But the people that will persevere, that will keep putting content out there, there are still people watching and they're going to find those people and bring them into their community. So like if there's any content creators out there thinking of giving up right now, just keep going. Like honestly, just keep going. Make content. Don't make the content for views. Do it to entertain people. Do it to because you love playing the game and stuff like that. Views come second. You know what I mean? Don't focus on the views. If you focus on the quality of what you actually produce, you will grow regardless. Just keep doing it. There's no magic potion into getting in becoming successful. You just have to keep doing it. Be consistent. Evolve from the last project that you send out and you'll be all right. And I do appreciate and I can understand why people are starting to drop off like flies and go back into COD Mobile and stuff like that because they have changed a lot of stuff. The movement is scuffed right now. I can barely slide. My aim assist doesn't work on gyroscope. My sensitivity gets reset every single time I log into the game. So I can see the frustration and why people are dropping off. But yeah, just I would say the biggest thing is don't give up and just give the game some time to evolve.
Hey, yo, my man was spitting about the content. That
was Ducky with Fortnite.
True, literally. So
yeah,
I was gonna say like this launch is so different from any like I would the only launch of a game I've been a part of like Madden Mobile back in the day and they would have a really hype launch and then the game would die off just slowly taper off for the rest of the season until they came out with a new game next year and so you just front loaded all of your content and then you were just like you slowly stopped uploading streaming the later the season went on. But Fortnite was completely opposite in that there was almost no hype around content. I always say this, I think I was the only person consistently streaming the game on any platform for the first little while. And I went from 50 viewers to 75 to 100, 150. And then within 3 or 4 months of just consistently streaming on YouTube, I went to like 2 to 3K average viewers for like a few weeks or so. And then that slowly tapered off. And it was kind of the same thing of just like long term, if you have a plan, if you enjoy the game. If you don't enjoy the game, like there's no point in just grinding out, you know. For me, COD Mobile, I never really enjoyed making that much content on the game. For some reason, it just never clicked with me. So I could never stick through that phase of lower viewership, lower numbers to get to where I wanted to be. But like you said, if you enjoy it, if you could push through it. Those are the people who reap the rewards because there was only 4 Fortnite mobile content creators at the end of the day. Everyone else made a few videos and then dipped. But it was the people who stuck around, continued to make videos, daily upload, stream, grind, get their name out there. That long term, if the game or win the game, because I think I agree, Apex is in kind of a rough spot right now. A ton of hype and then just execution on the launch was good but not great, so I think it's gonna be the same thing as PC is huge hype on launch, dips down for a little bit while they repair the game, fix it up, and then people when they come back to it, if you're still that guy creating high quality content, pumping it, you know, your skill has progressed along the way, so you have insane movement, insane aim, you're dropping 6Ks every single game, Mm-hmm. Like, those are the people that are going to be there to reap the rewards later on, not the people who, like, oh, it's becoming relevant, let me hop back on. Like, they're going to have, you know, just hardly any success. So, we'll see how this... I'm very curious to see how this launch goes, like, how the next few months go, because I'm going to be here. You know, you're going to be here. There's a few other people who I know are stuck. Not stuck, but they're here for the long term. And then there's some people who I know are on 50-50 on the fence. Like, you know, Bobby, for example, he could jump ship anytime. He can go play COD Mobile and be, you know, frolicking with his viewers in the COD Mobile field and be fine. But someone like myself and maybe you, we've pretty much full sent Apex. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll do everything we can to make the best content and pull the best viewership. But at the end of the day, it's just up to the game and how it updates, optimizes, and... Yeah. continues to excel moving forward.
I think they definitely will update it. They definitely will improve, buff the game, fix some bugs and stuff like that. But I think the main thing to take away from that question that you guys asked me is that you mentioned on Chris's tweet the other day, I think, something about like supply and demand. Now things like there's way too much. There was anyway, like the first week of global, there was way too much supply than the actual demand. Now things are starting to balance out, but it may well be just the same amount of viewerships in the first place, but because the fact that the CCs are starting to drop off, those same amount of people that still watches the content are going to look for new content creators. And guess who they're going to find? The people are constantly putting content out there. So yeah, like, honestly guys, if there's going to be a lot of people switching to other games, but like I'm saying, just stick to it. If you keep quitting what you're starting, then you're not gonna go far. You're really not.
It's a short road. And on that topic, there is, I'm not really familiar with like the ALGS scene, and I'm not really familiar with how long COD Mobile took to get their esports out. But do you have any interest in? I think I've heard you've like had some interest in casting esports, and that sort of scene. You already have had a game plan to get into TSM and it worked out. Mm-hmm. So do you have a game plan if any to get into casting, get into esports? Because I'm not going to be competing. So I'm sort of also similarly looking to like, I enjoy casting. It's something very fun. And I think there is going to be an opportunity for a lot of people to hop into that, like a lot of content creators to hop into casting. But I mean, you probably already have a notepad just, you know, how to become number one caster worldwide. So
you see, the thing is, like, before Global actually came, I've been speaking to Sylvia about casting and stuff like that, and it's something that I want to do as well. But if I wanted to build a brand on casting, that in itself is going to take a lot of time off of my entertainment side of things. First of all, I don't have any plans going pro. I cannot commit to daily scrims or daily practices, daily sort of events or whatever. It's just something that I don't really like doing. I'm very competitive, but I'm too competitive. So when I get into the pro scene, I'm probably just going to end up like punching myself when I lose a match or something. So I think I'm like, for health reasons, I'm staying away from pro. Now, entertainment is my number one thing. So that's definitely going to be my main focus. As far as casting goes, I'm looking to like cast the main events, the major events where, you know, it's like semi-finals of something, going into finals and then maybe casting something of the finals, and maybe a few regional events. But as far as like casting mini events, community events and stuff like that, I'm not going to look at doing most of those. As far as casting goes, if an opportunity arises where they like how I cast and they ask me to cast, then I'll cast that event. But as far as like proactively seeking casting events opportunities, I won't be doing that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I don't know the first thing. I'd have to ask Bobby how all that world works of casting, because it seems like if there's a tournament and he's not playing in it, he's casting it. He's involved in that comp esports side of things, which Fortnite Mobile never had. There was never the opportunity to cast a tournament, to do any sort of thing on the competitive side. So I was always competing in those tournaments. I wasn't winning very many, but I was competing. I was trying. And so, yeah, I'm just very curious to see how a lot of this stuff forms, because I wasn't there from the beginning in COD Mobile to see all that progress with the orgs, with the competitive side, with casting, with content. And so seeing that, you know, TSM's already hopped in. So the org's already, you know, they're already picking up people left and right and to see who's going to go next. I think Chris already said he's in an org or he's announcing soon. And, you know, you see people getting scooped up left and right. So the org battle's happening. And so I hope ALG or, you know, mobile ALGS, I hope that is a thing that happens in the near future when the bug.
I think it will be.
Oh, it's got to be. If it's not, then I mean, I feel bad for everyone scrimming right now, but it'll be a thing. It'll be a thing.
It will be. I mean, the fact that they've already added it into the ALGS playlist. That's a bit of a teaser.
It's a teaser. It's a little leak. So one thing, though, is the, I guess, transitioning to ALGS. And if that were to occur, the revenue for the game the first week made $5 million for the first week. Compare that to COD Mobile, which made $15 million in the first week. And then PUBG Mobile surprisingly only made $600,000 in their first week of launch. So I know Fortnite Mobile always has some really juicy prize pools. I think the statistics were over the, like, there's a 1 year time period where the game drew in $1 billion in revenue. And just doing some quick math, 5 million, 50 weeks in the year, 52 weeks, that's like $250 million in revenue for Apex Mobile. And you have to think, like, I don't know the prize pools for ALGS, but COD Mobile doesn't, there's only like $400,000, right?
No, it's over 2 million.
Oh, my bad. is that per
I didn't follow COD at all. What are you asking, Ducky?
No, like World, Stage 5, isn't it 500,000 or 400,000 per region, I guess?
That it was like 400,000 for first place per region.
Okay, and they had
two different regions, so it was like $1 million prize pool for each region.
Gotcha. So I guess just scaling that, if the revenue numbers are, which we could talk, you know, monetization and game and lucky draws and crates all day, but I wonder how you think that might translate to prize pools and competitive, because I don't know if you were incredibly active in the COD Mobile comp scene. It's not, I mean, if you're playing, trying to add plastic foods, I don't know if you were.
No, definitely not. So. I didn't really pay attention to anything to do with the pro scene until I got into Wicked Esports towards the end of summer last year. Towards the end of summer the year before that. So I was with Wick like from October 2020, I think it was. And that's when I was like, this is pro gaming. This is the real deal. This is Wixon popping off in events and stuff like that. So that's when I started paying attention to events. So as far as like scaling, I guess you have to realize that COD dates back 15 years ago, maybe.
How
old is a COD franchise?
I think it probably
somewhere around 2006 or 7 that the first one came out.
Yeah, something like that. So you have to understand that a lot of people grew up with the franchise, and that in itself is huge. So comparing like the first week of COD Mobile versus Apex Legends is a minority in terms of like brand image, brand awareness, and how many people know of Apex Legends. COD Call of Duty, my fiance knows Call of Duty. Do you know what I mean? Like, my auntie probably knows Call of Duty. My dad knows Call of Duty. He doesn't even play games. But as soon as I start asking people, oh, yeah, I make content for Apex Legends, they're asking, oh, what is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the power of branding, the power of people having grown up with a brand, with a game, of course, there's going to be a lot more people spending money in COD Mobile's first week than Apex Legends' first week. Because COD has just got a massive fan base behind that.
Yeah, I think, honestly, like, even when it comes down to prize pools, I'm not sure game revenue specifically is as important. I think majority of COD Mobile's prize pool comes from the Xperia sponsorship, and that's honestly another thing to talk about, because now there are rumors that EA could potentially be purchased by Apple, and that's been obviously...
Who's saying that?
I really gotta start sending you tweets.
I'm turning on your noties, bro. You're not in the alg for me. You're not in the Twitter alg. I'll turn on your noties right now.
Okay, yes.
Noties are on.
Apple is going to be buying EA. There's other companies that are in that conversation as well, but with that comes the possibility that we could potentially see one of the first mobile shooters outside of Fortnite that doesn't have device restrictions, whereas in the past it has been pretty much exclusively mobile only whenever it comes to competitive. So were Apple to end up buying EA, you would think more than likely they wouldn't restrict it only to phones, especially given that iPads are mobile devices. So I think there are a lot of different directions that you can go with the prize pools. Obviously, the revenue that you pull in is important. But once again, it's week one. There's still a lot to be seen. Like you said, there's a lot more brand recognition for Call of Duty than there is for Apex. So that probably factored into total downloads as well. We don't have those total download numbers yet. But I think there's a lot of different directions that things can go in the future as far as esports, prize pools, and other things like that.
I think I even heard that ALGS doesn't take sponsors for their prize pools. I feel terrible like quoting all this ALGS stuff because I have probably watched two games in my life of ALGS. I'll watch more, don't worry. But I've heard from people that they don't take sponsorship money, or they don't have like a dedicated sponsor that they provide their own prize pools. So if that was the case, you would have to assume they follow suit for mobile and they don't take, you know, like a Sony or a OnePlus or some sort of phone sponsor deal. I don't know though. I mean, if that were the case, I would say Apex Mobile Comp would be the most competitive mobile shooter in the world, just because people can play on the device they want to play, the HUD they want to use without having restrictions. And so it'll be like I said, it's just an interesting time right now because there's so much competition, there's so many competing, content creators are competing for eyeballs, orgs are competing for content creators, and then the comp players are all getting ready for what's supposedly going to be a pretty juicy launch of ALGS. But
I actually just realized, though, the previous ALS that happened like a month ago, I think they were playing on sponsored devices, because a lot of the pro guys were saying, why are we playing on really bad PC
sales? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There was a lot of controversy around that.
Were those sponsored PCs?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they were. I think they were just bad PCs.
I don't remember anyone saying like, oh, why am I playing on these like insert PC name here. Like, it was just like, these PCs suck.
Yeah. Well, it was the main thing was the graphics cards, because I think it was like RTX 2070s or something. And I'm pretty sure they were promised like 3080s or something like that. Okay. And
yeah.
So like that. I think that was the majority of what the controversy was around.
I'm literally just looking at it now. I think it might have been sponsored by Lenovo.
Oh, maybe.
I'm not sure. I'm just checking. Yes. So basically, the ALGS that happened a month ago. Lenovo Legion, Monster Energy, and Herman Miller. But I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay. So it looks like they were device sponsored, so to speak.
Uh-oh. I better go buy myself a Lenovo. I just looked it up. Lenovo Legion Pro. It looks like
tablet?
It looks like a phone.
I didn't know they made those.
It doesn't look... I can buy it on AliExpress, so I don't think it's even sold in the States. Blue IO. Oh my god, it's $1,000 on DHgate. Okay.
What?
Yeah. Wait, what are the specs of this? Location, Asia. Yeah, so it's not even an NA... So there's no way they'd do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Just memeing.
All right, well, still talking about esports, obviously, there's been a lot of people talking about custom games, their addition to the game, maybe some controversy around whether it should be only content. I don't think there's really anybody that thinks it should only be content creators that get access to it, but as of right now, it looks like it's only going to be content creators that get access. I believe there's some tribe creators that have teased that they're going to get access, so they must know something that the rest of us don't, but... do you think there are any specific changes that should be made around that? Do you think that's something that's helpful for just the general public to have, and also for content creators as well?
As far as like, I don't want anybody monopolizing custom lobbies. That's first and foremost. So the fact that only content creators will get access to custom lobbies, I think it's a little bit unfair. I'm a content creator myself, so obviously it would benefit me a lot, but I'm not about that. You know, I want people to be able to go into a custom lobby and just 1v1 with their friends, or 3v3 with their friends in a specific location without having to worry about getting wiped by bots. As far as like custom lobbies, I personally think they should open it like COD Mobile has, but also have a balance of how is it going to work alongside ranked? Because if custom lobbies are a thing that's accessible to everyone, probably no one's going to do ranked. Or barely anybody is going to do ranked. So I think if they give ranked a very meaningful reward at the end, you know, remove the bots, only top 500 could be Predator. I think the rank would flourish, which the rank would still pop off. And for those that want to scrim, the open lobbies are available for everyone. But as far as availability and what I know, I don't even know who are the exact people who's going to get custom lobbies. As far as I know, a couple of content creators are already starting to get custom lobbies. So I guess it's good in the way that we're getting customs either way. But I'm just hoping that it's a lot more accessible than VIPs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think everybody having access to customs would really impact rank that much, because I think that there are like specific people that would want to scrim a lot, but also scrimming 24/7 is very draining. And I think it is also good that Apex has that Apex Predator rank, because that's not something that I think they have something similar in PUBG Mobile, but once again, it's not super competitive. There's a lot of bots at the top, and the more they remove bots from the top Predator Master lobbies, whatever that would be, I think the more competitive it's going to be. And I think that's an important thing that COD Mobile has never really gotten down, is having something that gives you an opportunity to bridge the gap between casual player and competitive player that's competing in esports. Yeah. I think especially looking at like the first week of those Apex lobbies, it was actually like a scrim every single game that you hopped into, that you're never going to get into a COD Mobile lobby that feels like a scrim, just because there's so many different restrictions that make it completely different. But in Apex, like, everybody plays the game exactly the way that it is. There's no banned weapons. There's no banned heroes, legends, whatever it is. I think there's a lot of potential that even if we do see everyone get access to custom games, I think for the foreseeable future, Apex ranked is going to be the standard for competitive ranked modes as far as mobile games go.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, something that Fortnite did interesting is for their custom game access was, if you were a support, like with their Epic Games creator program, which is basically just how to support a creator code, which also you only had to have 1,000 followers on one of like many social medias. It feels like Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You just connected it, sent you 1,000 followers, and they gave you a code, which gave you access to lobbies. So I think something where not everyone gets it, but then again, that I guess that would sort of assume that you'd have to be a content creator to get it. I don't know. I don't think it really affected it, like you said, that much. There was still a lot of people grinding. Like, I ran into Tfue into random games. I ran into a bunch of pro players randomly in arena. So people continued to play the ranked mode in Fortnite, even though they had customs. It was mainly like the hardcore grinders. They would only play scrims. And I think that might be similar, where like the people who want to go professional might use those custom games to their advantage, but the people who just are competitive in nature but don't want to go like full-time esports, they'll just continue to play ranked. But yeah, I don't know. I've heard some tweets, heard some rumors that some people have it, some people don't, and it's either like you give it to all of us or you give it to no one. Because like I said, I'm a content creator, and I agree that either no one should have it, or there should be some application form or something, not just like people getting handpicked. Because it's just, you know, like, I want to make content on that. All of us want to make some custom lobby content.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's such a good tool for us content creators. It's like the more content creators have access, the more good quality content that other creators can make. Like, I don't know, hide and seek, or, you know, those kind of fun events. At the end of the day, that's still promo for the game. So why restrict the ability for yourself, for a lot of content creators to be able to make free content for the game for you by restricting it with VIP access custom lobbies?
Beats me. I don't know. I mean, I hope it gets resolved soon. I'm pretty sure we'll figure it out. But an overall theme in your, I guess, career, Ice, has been you've been a planner. From what I can tell, you've had a game plan every step of the way, and people outside of the industry always ask me, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I'm like, man, I don't know where I'm going to be next week. I don't know what I'm doing next week. I don't know what video I'm recording, what stream I'm doing. But you seem to have a really set idea, at least for yourself, for like some big milestone periods. So I wanted to ask, like, where do you see, what kind of content do you see yourself doing in the near future? And, you know, maybe far 3 to 5 years? Is it going to be mobile gaming? Do you keep referring to yourself as an entertainer? So do you think you're going to branch out of mobile gaming? Is, you know, I'll let you speak on that and what you sort of see yourself doing.
I really love mobile gaming. The fact that you can play your game anywhere, anytime, if you've got internet, it's so good. It's really good. And I think it's the future. Mobile gaming is the future. So I'm most likely going to stay with mobile gaming for a very long time. I think I'm going to build my brand along, you know, around mobile gaming, because I don't really play PC games anymore either. I don't have a console. I don't really like consoles. I've played a console since PlayStation 1. So, as far as like future content goes, without
you know, don't leak anything. Yeah.
No. I mean, like, without giving too
we're
much.
We're talking 3 to 5 years. I don't care what you're dropping next week.
Yeah, no. All right, you've got 73 guides planned to drop, and
no. Yeah, so I'm wanting to be the Mr. Beast for mobile gaming. So I want to make content not just on gaming, but also helping different communities grow, helping content creators grow, make content creators go against each other for big money and like for crazy challenges and stuff like that. So I don't want to limit myself to just an Apex Legends mobile gaming creator. I want to sort of branch out to providing a lot of opportunities where people can promote themselves from. So I want to build a massive platform so I can then say, all right, here's $1,000. I want some of you guys to make the biggest, the sickest montages you can ever do, and then send them to me, and then I'll decide. So I want the whole community to play with / against each other and grow with each other, really. You know, I don't want to just do this so I become famous. I want to do this so I can provide a platform for other people that are also aspiring to blow up. That's my take on everything. So as far as like content goes, I'm gonna be doing some outrageous things that even I can't imagine sometimes. So I have to literally sit down on the sofa and think, all right, what's the next stupid thing that I can do? that's what I ask myself like every day. So as far as like, just to give you an idea, as far as like brand goes, I was speaking to my fiance the other day and she was like, You need to do merch. You need to basically do merch. And I think, well, I have some sort of merch idea one day that, you know, do you know Ben and Jerry's? I want to collab with Ben and Jerry's and have them make an ice cream called Ice Cream with my logo as chocolate cone cookies. That's how
what
far
you need to do. You need to collab with Chick-fil-A because their ice cream is literally called Ice Dream.
Oh, whoa, no,
you
way.
Can get an ice cream. That would be crazy.
It's funny because I've seen some like smaller, there's this TikTok creator I follow, like 200,000 to 300,000 followers. He got his own like custom meal in the app because he would every day, he was like a fitness influencer. He'd be like, yo guys, get this bowl from Chipotle. And over time it just happened. So like, I feel like that's pretty possible. Like I would personally, I don't know if I could ever, you know, have the guts to be like, let's do a Chick-fil-A deal, but you got that. Or a Ben and Jerry's. Yeah, that's easy. That's an easy dub.
It makes sense, right? Nothing is possible. Nothing is impossible if you put your mind into it. That's all I'm saying. Like my dad's always told me, if you put your mind into anything, you can achieve anything. Never forgot that. So yeah, I like to dream big. So even when I dream big, the end product, the end, I guess if you set your bar high, when you have a bad day, you still do good. But if you set your bar on an average level, when you have a bad day, it's really bad. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I always like to really dream big, go for the most outrageous things. So even if I don't grab that, the next tier below is still insane.
If you shoot for the stars and you fail, then you'll land on the moon.
So there we go.
What, dude?
Looking for new co-hosts.
That's what he just said.
Needs to be not cheesy.
Dude, yo, put that on a t-shirt. That's my merch.
Dougie, that's already on like 50 million t-shirts across the world right now.
Make it 50 million in one. Don't care. Alrighty, Ice. Well, It was a pleasure having you on. You honestly wowed me with everything that you've, you know, how you got into mobile gaming, how you ended up here, what you're going to be doing next. And it was, like I said, a pleasure having you on. I appreciate the time. And everyone, please make sure to go check out Ice. If he's going to become the Mr. Beast of mobile gaming, listen, you got to check him out. He's going to be doing some awesome content. He just signed the TSM, so I'm certain he's going to be having some big plans with them coming up soon. It seems like he just has a million and one ideas for things to come. And so all of his links, all of his socials will be down below in the description, as well as our podcast. You guys can find us on Spotify. We're still working on Apple Podcasts. We don't know what's going on with that. So hopefully if you're an Apple Podcast listener, you've been able to find us somewhere. We have a clips channel where we post some clips here and there. That's also down below in the description. Any last words, Ice? Any matchas you want to end off on?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys for inviting me into this. You know, obviously with me being on the smaller side of the size, it was kind of like, it took me aback when Bobby asked me, yo, do you want to be our second? I was like, hell yeah. I was like, oh, at the same time I started panicking. I'm like, oh my God, are people going to want to hear what I've got to say? But that's my thanks to you guys. I guess my gratitude to you both for inviting me here. As far as like a message to everyone, just keep going, guys. Please just keep going. There's going to be hype going down, but there's also going to be people that are still looking for content. So provide good content, please.
Yeah, I think I felt comfortable inviting you on, number one, because I respect your work ethic and I know you probably grind harder than just about anybody in the scene right now, with the exception of maybe Ferg, and that's just because he's not human, he's Ferg.
Nope.
But definitely respect how hard you've grinded. The fact that you've been able to impress TSM to the point of them being able to see your grind and your work ethic to have them pick you up, and I'm sure that we'll be able to look back on this and honestly probably a couple months and say, look how far he's come since he was at 10,000 subscribers when he was on the Two Thumbs Up podcast. So I'm excited to see what you're going to do in the future, and I'm sure you got big things in store.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me.
Yep.
Alrighty. Well, that's been the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed. Once again, everything, including our links and ICE's, down below in the description, and hope you guys have a good one.
Bye. Adios.